Welcome to India under day five of a complete and nationwide lockdown. Yet, take a look at these visuals. This is India under a complete and nationwide lockdown. For any of you who've been religiously following the Prime Minister's orders, despite huge inconveniences and economic setbacks, and you've stayed locked in your homes for this last week, these visuals will be disturbing and they will be worrying. On Tuesday, when Prime Minister Modi announced a nationwide 21-day lockdown, he said that it was imperative for every Indian to comply. He said it was for the greater good of the entire country because, and it's true, because we are all in this together. Now, keeping the Prime Minister's words in mind, take a look at these visuals again. How did we get here? What led to thousands of people congregating at interstate bus terminals and state borders at a time when the government and experts have unanimously said they are unanimous in agreement that social distancing is crucial for checking the spread of COVID-19. Now, these visuals, apart from being heartbreaking, they're also a mockery of the lockdown. So who is responsible for this? Were there better ways to execute a lockdown? Prime Minister Modi today apologized to the nation for the hard decision which has especially affected the poor. That's how he put it. But the decision, he underscored, was the only solution to combat the highly contagious virus which is playing havoc across the world. So is this an acknowledgement that the government mismanaged this lockdown? That's what we're asking. On the show tonight, we have Sunil Alag, founder and chairman of SK Advisors. It's a business advisory and consultancy services with an emphasis on marketing and brand management strategies. We have Mihir Sharma, economist, columnist, senior fellow at the Observer Research Foundation. We have Harsh Manda, writer and civil rights activist. And Prashant Nandan, co-founder and CEO at 1MG. That's one of India's leading online medical firms. Sunil Alag, let me start by asking you, repeating that question that we opened up the show with, is this an admission that the government has messed up? And if so, then there are serious consequences, because ironically, let's play those visuals again. A lockdown, Sunil Alag, has led to a flight of labor. It's led instead to a great migration. Instead of letting people stay where they were, where they are, a call for a lockdown without systems in place and no warning period has instead caused a massive movement, a migration, a mixing of populations. I mean, that's just the opposite of what the doctor recommended.
You know, I fully agree with what you've just said, Sara. Look, there is not good planning when the Prime Minister has said that everybody should stay at home. But one has to understand that the center is really the facilitator. It's the state governments that are supposed to execute and implement whatever is said. I think the mistake that was made, or perhaps why would I call it a mistake? It's the suggestion that was there when the Prime Minister should have spoken to all the state chief ministers prior to the lockdown. Look, the big thing which is happening, what you are showing, is primarily between Delhi and UP, and many states in India are not having what you've just shown. So it's really where both Mr. Kejriwal and the center should have got together and told everybody, which is a little too late. In fact, Mr. Kejriwal has come today and said, don't go out because I'm giving free electricity, free food, free everything. So there is a question of poor communication. And there is a question of actually speaking. The center should have spoken to all the states before going in for this. That's my point of view.
But Sunil, the PM did speak with all the chief ministers. I remember those visuals on video conference ahead of this big announcement. But I want to ask you again, actually also, to be fair today, you know, these visuals aren't just from Delhi and UP. Because in Kerala, which is one of the states that has been commended for best tackling the spread of COVID-19, we've seen huge numbers of migrants come out demanding to be able to go back to their states. So I'm not sure if it's correct to say this is only Delhi and UP, but
no, it's not only Delhi and UP. I agree with you, Sara, but we have 29 states. If it's happening in two or three, it's the minority of the states. That's the only point I'm making.
Okay.
But at the same time, I wish to say that, look, the execution depends on the state governments and not the center. The center
so
is the
execution,
facilitator.
The failure or the blame now lies at the state governments. But Sunil Alag, you know, if one were to think logically and use common sense, are the states to blame if they're given 4 hours notice? Because if I had to think logically, one would say that if I wanted 25 people to stay locked in their homes for 2 weeks, I would tell them, look, get everything you need to stay put in one place, right? Not spring it on them as a surprise and then give them 4 hours.
No, I think the communication was wrong. I've said that in the beginning, both the state and the center are to blame. But we have to get down to understanding that, look, these are the first few days of the entire thing that the government, that Mr. Modi wants to do. It's an essential thing. It could have been handled better. Yes, the states have to implement it better. And everybody will watch after 1 week. And I think beyond 15th April, this is going to get extended because, look, at the end of it, at the end of 1 week, you will find the crowds lessening. There was panic buying, understanding the culture in India. We don't follow all the rules that are there. We want to get home when you were told to stay where you are. Look, I mean, if nobody wants to follow it, take a look at Japan. Their culture is to just listen. And in India, that culture doesn't exist as yet. So there is a mistake. There is an error. And hopefully it will get corrected because I saw on your television today that UP is now arranged for buses and they are all being tested and their addresses are being taken. It might take a week, but we have 1.3 billion people to manage. Sara, it's very easy to cast blame. I think a lot of errors have been made and we must now correct it in the next 1 week if we are to fight virus together.
Harsh Mandar, these are teething problems. Only to be expected. We have 1.3 billion people to take care of, Sunil Alag says. Your response, because, you know, this week we've seen some of the most heartbreaking visuals of fellow Indians who don't have the social security safety networks that all of us on the show tonight do. People walking hundreds of kilometers to get home without food. Children, carrying children. Does epidemic management need to be more inclusive of marginalized sections of society?
See, absolutely. You know, I think that what we need to understand is that when we are told by the Prime Minister that you have to stay at home, work from home, wash your hands regularly, keep social distance, you're imagining people like you and I who are assured of a salary, we are assured of our income, we have spaces, we have running water, we have food, we have, everything. If 90% of our people are informal workers and there are 100 million people who are circular migrants, who actually keep moving around from place to place, there's some settled migrant, and we are, effectively, we did not. I mean, if you're suddenly told, and, you know, the economic package was announced a few days later, but even what is the economic package? You're effectively telling, suppose I was telling you, or anyone on this show, or anyone who's viewing this show, that you will get the equivalent of 1 or 2 days' salary, and you will get 5 kilos of grain, and you just stay put, and you don't have any health insurance. What would you and I want to do? You desperately, if I have to see my children go hungry, if I have no work, and I'm frightened of dying in an of a disease, where would you want to be? I would want to be home under all circumstances. That is why people flew in from different parts of the world and we made arrangements for them. This was not something that should not have been anticipated. We went in for what was an ideal solution in a very different context where the majority of people in Europe, etc., are in the formal sector, do have social security, do have homes. The poor are a small minority. But when we took this up in India, it did not require any imagination. It just required a certain degree of empathy and compassion on the part. It's not bad planning. It's just atrocious because the lockdown is meaningless now. And I was out on the streets the last 3 days. I've seen the levels of hunger already. And, you know, people walking on these streets, four-year-old child is walking along with his mother 300 kilometers. Just so that they can get somewhere. And to say that people should have just stayed, you know, listen to the Prime Minister, we should have been more well-behaved and stayed at home. How can we say that when you don't have food for the next day, you have no assurance of food, you don't have water,
you don't have a roof over your head.
How do you expect people to have done this? This was an idea which was unimplementable to start with.
So you are not accepting that statement that, you know, we misunderstood Indian society. We didn't get it right, because this is what you're saying is a basic human response, that everybody, no matter where you are, if you're abroad or anywhere, you want to be home when there's trouble.
And especially when you don't have food and an income to be assured for, and you have to watch your children die of hunger because you won't have food. You're frightened about an illness, you will want to be home. And only when we had a very caring society where you could believe in, if we had said, we will give you minimum wages every single day that you will be here from day one, like you and I are getting, at least that assurance should have been there. We should have made provision for food. We should have actually done exactly what the middle class is getting.
Okay, so you say what was missing was empathy, what was missing was compassion, but what about basic, simple efficiency? You know, a lockdown is useful if at the same time we're also testing to find out how the disease is spreading. If at the same time we're ramping up supply chains and health facilities to increase capacity, without these, are we merely just delaying the inevitable while causing immense hardships? Let's get Prashant Tandon in. Prashant, you know, India has entered shutdown mode. And as we did that to contain the spread of COVID-19, online medicine and medical delivery firms like yours temporarily suspended operations in many cities, ironically. Why?
So I think once the lockdown was declared, there were teething troubles. I think what happened was there were the communication of what is essential, what is allowed, what is not allowed, did not go down to the ground level. The cop on the street who was not very clear about what he should allow or should not allow, and that caused a lot of issues for us. A bunch of our delivery folks faced a lot of disruption. People were beaten up and all of that stuff. So it really created, while these were 20-25 issues across the country, but still, these really created...
You call them teething problems, but to me it seems ironic that we're fighting a pandemic and it's the medical supply chain that is affected. E-commerce wasn't classified as an essential service by the PM in his speech?
I'm sorry?
Medical e-commerce was classified as an essential service, right? Because you're both field of e-commerce and in medical services.
That's correct.
So doubly essential services. Yet this was your experience. I'm just trying to put this in.
There's no doubt about that. It was just, I think it was certainly a couple of days of trouble. And we're still having local issues in many parts of the country. Just today in Mumbai, we had issues where cops were not very friendly to our delivery folks. So, yes, those issues do happen and they do persist, and they're very, very disheartening and unfortunate. And having said that, what will happen is what has happened over the last couple of days is local administration as well as central administration in every state, every city has actually been very proactive working with us. So one has to acknowledge that. Having said that, have the issues evaporated? No, there are still issues. There are local beat cops who really don't get what is essential, what is not.
And they like to speak with their stick.
In some parts of it, we have the issues.
But so, Prashant, what is the situation now, if you could give us an overview? Because is it just COVID-19 related medicines, for example? Is it only hand sanitizers, etc.? Or is it medicines across the board? I'm assuming it's medicines across the board. For example, insulin injections. What happens to refrigerated medicines? Because you're hearing of trucks having trouble. I mean, a simple practical question I would ask is, where do these truckers eat if all the dhabas have been closed on the road?
Yeah, no, so I think the supply chain, so there are, I think there are two, three parts of the problem, and they have to be solved as we go along. The first was consumers should be able to get the medicines that were already in inventory that distributors and retailers were holding. So that is the one piece that is still getting streamlined. The next phase is certainly going to be the back-end supply chain from the manufacturer to the consumer. So today there was a notification that all interstate goods, transport of all goods is is actually going on fine. So today we opened, we are now live in 100 cities. Till yesterday we were in 16 cities. So I think there is a step-by-step recognition of all these issues, and they are getting sorted as we go along. So are there genuine concerns? Yes, of course, for refrigerated cold chains, what's the situation, how the products have been stored, are those warehouses operational, cold storage operational or not? Those are questions we will need to figure out and answer soon enough. As of now, the inventory that is lying in our distribution partners, I think that is certainly enough to keep supplying for the next 7 days or 10 days. But yes, we have to solve all these problems that you mentioned here.
Well, Prashant, the challenges of setting up a startup in India, they never end, clearly. But Sunil, please come in over here. Critics would say that, you had demonetization, GST, that killed or affected the demand. Now we have poor planning in this lockdown that is affecting the supply. We have Ratan Roy who has tweeted, let's pull up that tweet. Why has the government banned the movement of fresh chicken and other meats from local farms? He says, in this case, Delhi government needlessly destroying the supply chain and the local economy. Your response, yes, this is a huge challenge and a catch-22 for the government because you have the health of the people of India to worry about, but also the state of the economy.
You know, all I can say is I agree with Mr. Mandar that, look, when poor people are not getting food, are not getting anything, I didn't speak against that at all. But what we have to do is simultaneously try and announce a lockdown and work our way towards whatever we can do for the poor. Because what the Prime Minister in his Mann Ki Baat today said, and so has Mr. Kejriwal said, an appeal to all the people. Look, you got people like Mr. Akshay Kumar, who's given 25 crores. They've asked everybody to give full wages. They've asked all of us to try and join hands with the government, because this cannot be done by the government alone, Mr. Mandar. To wait to get a perfect proposal and then introduce it, by which time none of us would be alive. So all that the government has done, and I agree with you, that they have to take care of the people and introduce the lockdown. Look, even after the lockdown, if you go down to the villages, they're all staying cheek and jowl right now. And all that the government is trying to do is to say that if anything happens in a village, it should not transfer to the next village. Because within that village, it's not that people are going to follow that social distancing or physical distancing that we are talking about. But it has to be done simultaneously. There are mistakes made, but we have to do it together. And look, the economy, as far as I'm concerned, everybody can complain about the economy. Look, if we are not around, the economy has no meaning, because 1 or 2 or 3 months or 4 months in the life of a nation is like 4 days in a personal life. Look, what does the Prime Minister says? Jab jaan hai, toh jaan hai. If we are not around, what are we going to do with the economy? We have to wait. It might take us 1 to 2 years to recover in the economy. But we have to recover the nation first in terms of health, in terms of people. And that's what I would support completely. Look, and I agree with Mr. Mandar that, look, but it had to be done simultaneously. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So, of course, human lives takes priority over the economy. Mihir Sharma, please come in over here. Sunil Alag says the government can't do this alone. Akshay Kumar has donated, 25 crores, for example. 20. The PM has asked everybody to donate to this new PM's fund. But tell us, 15,000...
You know, I'm looking after people, giving them the full salary also. I'm also doing my little bit. Everybody has to do it together now.
Everybody has to do it together, but Mihir, 15,000 crores to ramp up COVID-19 infrastructure, 20,000 crores for Rasina Hill beautification. What does this say about the government's priorities?
I think that as time goes by, they'll realize the degree of money that has to be spent on public health infrastructure, and we will see some significant belt tightening. If we don't see belt tightening on stuff like this, then I'd be deeply shocked. All right, we simply do not have that much money in the federal exchequer to start off with. And if we now have this additional and what may be a very substantial call on the treasury, we're not going to be able to afford things like the rice and our beautification. Let's be absolutely accurate about it. But to be and to return to Mr. Alag's point, look, we all need to do what we can in order to help people out who may be less fortunate. We may all have to be responsible at this time. But the primary responsibility is the government's to ensure that those who have been disrupted by this do not feel the need to, for example, cross state borders. That is not about some additional thing that they have to do. That is part and parcel of the lockdown. Any successful lockdown will ensure that people do not need to leave the house. So they did not even bother to think this through.
Mr. Sunil has agreed on that. But Harsh, then if you can come in over here, how do you, for example, tell a slum dweller who lives in a shanty with maybe 10 others that they should practice self-quarantine or social distancing? My question is, do we need to adopt global lessons in a local context? Because I remember WHO just released a video that had me aghast because it had the WHO chief giving 5 points of how we should look out for ourselves during this period. And I think point 3 or 4 was eat healthy. And it had this beautiful picture of this fresh, green, leafy salad. And the WHO chief was saying that you should eat healthy because that's how your immunity will stay up. We've had Indians walking for 3 days, hundreds of kilometers with no food. What immunity will they have if, God forbid, COVID-19 actually does get to them?
So, I think that, we must admit that the entire response had the imagination of the middle class from the government. And when the Prime Minister spoke to us that first night, he was telling us to do things that only a middle class person could do. That very day, if the Prime Minister had said, we've committed less than 1% of our GDP. Germany has committed 20% of its GDP to the relief response. We needed to do something like saying, you will get your full minimum wage. Every single person will get a full minimum wage from tomorrow, exactly where you are. Food will be available to all, etc., etc. Only then can, because you and I adjusted and we to staying at home because we knew we would get our salaries. We knew we would have our food. But we did not. It just astounds me that they did this. And now we are saying, okay, now let's mend it. Now, why are people moving? We are blaming the people for moving in this way. It's almost as if we've said, let's keep the middle class safe and the poor can be thrown under the bus. I'm saying this very, 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 very clearly and strongly, because that is really what it looks like. When you have people going out in that kind of crowding, I've been out, homeless people were telling us 3 days, 4 days, they hadn't eaten. We were giving them, a little ladle of khichdi, and they had waited 6 hours, 8 hours for somebody to come and give them this food. I cannot understand. You're asking people to wash their hands every few hours when you have to spend 1/5 of your day's salary on buying this larger pot of water. What are we had to plan something that worked for a country of enormous inequality of the kind that we have. So a lockdown theoretically would have been the best policy if we were a different kind of country. But we are a country where 90% of the people are in the informal workforce, don't have their next meal assured unless they work the next day, and live in shanties, live on the street. In these circumstances, we should have thought of something. I feel that the rich and the poor, however much we are at risk, we should be equally at risk. We cannot have a policy which protects one social class.
All right, Prashant Tandon, please come in here. Harsh Mandar says that this lockdown was created keeping the middle class in mind. Is that true? Because your product, 1MG, for example, is the darling of aspirational India, which is middle class India, where we can buy our medicines online without the inconveniences of actually having to go and stand in line at a chemist store. Is it true that this was tailored or designed for middle class India? Because middle class India seems also, certainly not as much, but also badly affected.
So I think, the lockdown per se was it necessary? I think it was extremely necessary to be done.
Now, all experts are in agreement that we needed to enforce social distancing. That's the only way to take on COVID-19. We're only talking about the enforcement of it, the planning behind it.
Yes. So the enforcement of it, obviously, is this designed for the poor? I agree with Harsh that it could have, a lot of things could have been done with respect to ensuring social security, something that the country needed at this point, and that was not there. Now, I cannot comment state versus center or whatever, but lockdown was absolutely essential and there was no time and there was no other option than to do it right now. Now that it was done, we needed to make sure that the priorities of fixing things. First of all, I think it would have been a much higher priority to make sure that the marginalized, the migrant workers are taken care of. That took a few days more than it should have, and that caused a lot of heartburn and chaos. And it's in my set of priorities, that would have been number one. Number two would have been delivery of essential medicines and products to the rest of the community. So I think those things are certainly, I think certainly things, when you look back at it, can be done and should be done
so
better.
So many lessons to be learned. Okay, Mihir, a quick question to you.
Because
all right, Mihir, Harshmandar says that this lockdown would have been more suited if we were a different kind of country. You know, Singapore, Taiwan, Germany, Turkey, China, where it all started, they haven't gone on for a complete lockdown. I mean, not for the entire country. They are prioritizing testing instead. So when Prashant says there was no other option, is that true in your opinion?
I'll agree with Prashant. Asking me or asking
Sunil,
Prashant?
Can I just get Mihir to answer that?
Yeah, sure.
I think at this particular point, there was no option other than to enforce some method of social distancing. Had we about a month ago started screening those who had come into the country a little bit more effectively, if we had ensured that they were maintaining their self-quarantine, which is what, for example, you do in Singapore, if we had ensured that we had scaled up testing in areas where they had come into contact, which is how Taiwan and South Korea have done it, then yes, there were other options earlier on in this process. We did not do those. Let's be absolutely clear. So if we're in the position now where we have to have this fairly draconian social distancing enforced on us across the country, it is a product of having already failed. Okay? Now, once we have this social distancing, if you knew that you were going to get into that, and everyone could predict, everyone has predicted that this is the only option, you had, in effect, 3 to 4 weeks to prepare for it. And I'm afraid right now, none of us can see where the preparation was. Not one of us.
Sunil, last word to you.
You know, look, I fully agree with Prashant. There are a lot of mistakes which have happened and we have to look to the future now. We cannot keep crying about what has happened. Look, in a dictatorship like China and Wuhan, they closed everybody down and you couldn't get out of your house and they delivered vegetables to your house. So you can't have a dictatorship, and a democracy is what we face. And our people are got to be controlled, and there is no way. All I can suggest is that, look, I've tweeted today saying that courage is really important from all of us. It's hope over fear. And that is what is important for all of us. Look, if we are to be courageous, we have to get rid of fear. And the government itself has said that all the moves they are making is fluid. Every 2 days, they are announcing better situation. They are announcing more relief. And Kejriwal himself has announced, and so have the state government, spent more money than even the center. So look, we have to come and say, look, we've got faith in the government. This is the situation we are in. Look to the future and hope that we can all pull together and get out of this.
Well, look to the future. This what has been done has been done. This water under the bridge, there will be casualties. That's going to be of little solace to the family of that man from Madhya Pradesh who walked 200 kilometers and about 80 kilometers away from his home. He died of a heart attack or stress or just being tired. But thank you all for your time, for joining us tonight on We the People. Let's go in for a short break.